Thank you, Carol. Well, it'd be well for you to keep that song in your heart this morning as we think about what we're going to share in relationship to that. I was confessing with my doctor and telling how healthy I'm eating right now. And we were talking about what I'm eating. And I told him, well, I said, I'm eating a lot of nuts. I'm eating walnuts, chestnuts, you know, peanuts, and so on and so forth, and whatever. And he says, well, that sounds really good. Sounds really good. He says, is that really what you're eating all? It's all those kind of nuts? I said, well, once in a while I have a donut. You know, I have no idea, when we look at what's going on in the world today, I do not know where it's all going to, where it's all going to end. I know it will end at the crowning day. I know there is a day when God's Son is coming and you and I are going to receive a crown. And I know that that is given to us within the context of Scripture so that no matter what, we would not lose hope in the world in which you and I live in, or the time that we live in, and things of that nature. You know, the songwriter has written, glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? We live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? You know, James 1, verse 12, states these, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:12. There is a promised crown. It's called the promised crown of life. And to everyone who loves him, he has promised that. Or in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Peter writes and says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Crown of life. Crown of glory. In our text this morning in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Titus says, we're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We're looking for that. Can you only imagine what it's going to be like when he appears? All the heavens roll away, the trumpets begin to sound. All that are dead are going to hear his voice and be resurrected, some to life, some not to eternal life. That's that aspect of that, you know. It just blows my mind. But the reality is what I see happening in our culture today, in the lives of young people and everywhere else, is like Dr. Carl Menninger says, science demeans hope. They demean it because they count it to be a religious thing. Religious in nature. Marshall Leggett, who was one of my great tutors, wrote a lot of different books, but he read. He read and read and read hundreds of Western culture books, looking for one subject matter in all those books. He read them to find out how many chapters or how much information those books would have on hope. He was disappointed to find out zero. I have Milligan's book, Scheme of Redemption. Fantastic book. Covers all the subject matters of God's Word. But one thing he does not mention is hope. He talks about faith, he talks about love, he talks about every subject imaginable, but he doesn't even touch on the subject matter of hope. Well, I look at what's going on today, I tell you, hope is more needed today than any day that man has ever lived on the face of the earth. And that when people lose hope, they've lost everything. And that the most important word, that four-letter word, is the most important word in the English language, hope. Hope. But hope is the very aspects of our lives today. Seemingly, hope is not held in high esteem today by a lot of people, but it sure is held in high esteem among people who are going through very deep states of depression. It's held by people who are experiencing despair. It's certainly held by people who are despondent and just feeling like They don't want to get up for another day. Those people have and seeking and wanting somebody to help them find hope. You know, really, seriously, they are. And some of the greatest four words in a statement can be held by a counselor, if you would. You can just simply see the power of those two words. It will get better. You will get better. I've said that to numerous people. You will get better. It will get better. Yeah. Those four words have been a light at the end of a tunnel for a lot of people because they just can't see it getting better. They can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But that's what people need, is simply a little spark of light to give them hope. And the aspect of that, of course, is that's all this book is about. This book is a book of hope. This is a message of hope. The whole aspects of this is faith, abides faith, hope, and love. Isn't that right? I can talk about, hey, love, and I can talk about faith, but I really believe today it's necessary that you and I, as God's people, even yourselves, may be lacking the hope that you need. Isn't that the hope expressed in God's word? Listen to these scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Romans 8, verse 18, God's word says, "For I consider," Paul writing, "I consider the suffering of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." What? All the suffering of this life that you and I may be experiencing can't even begin to compare what God and the glory that we're going to have revealed to us, the crowning day when it comes, the aspects of that receiving that aspect of promise of God, eternal life. Nothing in this life you go through can even begin to compare what you have to look forward to. I said, well, yeah, that's good. No, it says nothing that you and I go through in this life suffering compares. All right. But it also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Think about it. Did not Jesus say, "I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. His great glory of his appearance." And what will he do? It will be a crowning day. In a day you will be crowned with the crown of life. You'll be crowned with that crown that God has promised you. It will come. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, 8, Paul says, In the future, "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me, but also to all of those who love his appearing." What in the world do you live every day for? You live every day anticipating that this may be the day that Jesus comes? Because that's your hope. That's what you're living for. That's what you live for. That's what you're looking for. Is that great day of appearing when the Son of God comes and you receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown that he has promised you. That should get you through every day, because that is your hope, no matter what. That hope of that great crown. It is our hope, and my heart beats for it. My heart has beated for that hope probably for the last 20, 25 years. I get up every day and say, "God, is this the day? Is this the day?" You know, the book of Revelation ends by saying, "Maranatha, even so, Lord, come." I think some of us Christians just aren't homesick enough. Maybe we like it down here too much. Maybe that is what the problem is. Maybe you think somehow or other, in the context of this world, you're going to find what you're looking for. I've counseled many people, and their hearts aren't where they need to be. My Bible says if you've been risen up with Christ, then set your mind on things above, not down here. Some people in the Christian world are trying to still find happiness and fulfillment, thinking somehow or other, having money, having position, having a nice home, nice car, whatever, we'll make them and give them some hope. Hogwash. I'm sorry. That's an old farmer term. But it's true. Romans 8, 24, 25, you know there. Romans 8, 24, 25. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already has? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We wait for it eagerly. My heart hungers for the crowning day. When I receive the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness that God's promised to me, listen, people, secularism has no hope. There's no hope in this world. There's nothing in the secular world or whatever. Socialism, there is no hope in socialism. Absolutely none. It deprives people of any aspect of hope. There's no science. There's no hope in science. They can think and whatever. They're going to create life. They're going to create the ability to maintain life and whatever. And all of what they strive to do is just simply vain. It's all empty. It's purposeless. There is no hope. No hope in this world. The hope that God has given us is in the world that's yet to come. Did you hear what I just said? The hope that God has given us is in the world that is yet to come. I hear all these promises that the socialistic-minded people of our day are giving us. I hear all these aspects of what science promises us. I hear all that government promises us. Every aspect of all the secular world, what they promise us. How can they give to you and me what they don't have? How can they give us something they don't possess? The only way they can give something to you is to take it from somebody else. They have to take a heart from somebody else. They have to take something from somebody else. They can't give you life. They can't give you hope. They cannot give that to us. It isn't there to be found. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Peter says, "For speaking out of arrogant words of vanity, empty words, they entice fleshly desire." Wouldn't you not, and think of all the aspects of our human nature, aren't you basically lazy? Come on. Don't you have to motivate yourself? Don't you have to make yourself do something? Or you're just naturally one of these people, get up in the morning, man, you can't help yourself, you just got to get something done. No, human nature is we're lazy. Wouldn't you be, and if we say, okay, we're going to give you free medicine, we're going to give you free this, we're going to give you free that, how many lazy people in our country are going to take advantage of it? Huh? It'll destroy us as a nation, as economy, in every way. You don't get anything for nothing, people, and you know that. For goodness sakes, nobody knows that. But in their arrogance, they promise us everything. They're promising you nothing, but those words are empty words because they can't give you something they don't possess and don't have. It takes billions and millions and trillions of dollars to do what they're saying they're going to do. Crazy. That's why they're nuts. That's why they lack common sense. That's why there's no reason and aspect within the context, but there are enough people. There is enough lazy people that they'll believe what these people are telling them. You know that? They are. Bible says that they're enticed by fleshly desires. They're enticed by sensuality. Those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this they become a slave. And if you can't see the corruption that they're promising this nation, you're blind. I'm sorry, I know you're not. But I hope to God I can open your eyes to hope. Because working in the insurance industry for the length of 15 years, I insured a lot of yuppies. I insured a lot of different people. They drove their BMWs. They had their big $300,000, $500,000, $600,000 home. They had those huge, huge mortgages, those big car payments. I remember when they couldn't pay their insurance bill. Yeah, they didn't have money. I remember going into these yuppies' homes, and then the front, man, a beautiful dining table, a beautiful this, and then you go into the bedroom, and here's an air mattress on the floor, and blankets at the curtains on the windows. Who are they kidding? Nobody but themselves. They really are. The aspect of that, how many of you have heard of Ernest Hemingway? Ernest Hemingway experienced unbelievable success. He is credited with writing and creating the aspect of the style of the kind of books you buy in the market, you know, the dialogue of being able to buy a book that is a novel, so to speak. That aspect, he created that. He was a literary genius in aspects, and he was the toast of Europe. He became an idol in America. His last 20 years, however, were not productive. He became hopeless. He became a hopeless alcoholic. And he ended his life by taking his hunting rifle, sticking it in his mouth, and pulling the trigger. His last words that he wrote were these words: "My life is burnt out like a radio tube and empty, like when the batteries are dead and there's no current to plug into anymore." I'm not sharing this to try to demean his life, not at all. All I'm doing is telling you, and to show you and me today, the world has nothing to offer to you and me that guarantees an element of the reality of hope. Because hope is supposed to be an anchor to the soul. He could have all the fame, the wealth, the professional success, and he had all of that, but he was as empty as a burnout radio tube. A lot of people like that today. A lot of people. W.H. Alden, who was an English poet, I found this in one of my books, visited New York City, visited the Copacabana, and while he was there, as his eyes begin to adjust to the darkness, I was there on my senior trip. I'm going to tell you more of that. Oh, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis was there. That's right. But just a few moments, he began to look at the people sitting around him and all the aspects of it. And as he looked at their faces, he looked at their countenance, and he began to realize what he was seeing. And so he took his menu and turned it over, and on the back of the menu, he wrote this poem. He said, "Faces along the bar cling to their average day. The lights must never go out. The music must always play. Least we should see who we are, lost in a haunted world. Children afraid of the night, who have never been happy, never been good." He said, the main two words of my poem is this: lost, hopeless. That's what he saw. You know what? I see it all the time. You want to spend a few hours with me? You want to travel with me? You want to talk to some of the people I talk to? It's amazing. Let me remind you, however, Jesus said in Luke 12:15, "Beware, be on your guard against any form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Life doesn't consist of what you have, because most of the time what people have has them. Natural Inquiry carried a cartoon. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it depicts all the hope that the world can give to us. It showed New York City, showed the light, showed the traffic backed up in every direction, bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper. Showed pictures of people's faces sitting in the car, angry, depressed, hopeless, looking and saying, pounding on their steering wheel. I mean, it depicted everything out. But in that picture, there is this one pedestrian standing there waiting to be able to cross the road to the other side. The sign didn't say, walk, don't walk. The sign that they had in there said, lots of luck. Lots of luck. Lots of luck. And I tell you today, that is exactly all people can. I don't believe in luck, people. I believe there's a God in heaven who loves me, and he works everything together for good in my life. If I love him and serve him, he makes good out of everything. I don't care how bad, how what, whatever, God is able to bring good because he's a good God. Every good and perfect gift that I've experienced in life has come from God. I don't hope in man. I hope in God, don't you? The aspect of that is unbelievable. I can't wait for the crowning day. I don't say that because I'm under 80. You wouldn't know it, though, would you? You're supposed to say no. Come on. Aspect of that. Did you know that hope appears in the Bible 129 times? It says, God is called the God of hope. Jesus called Christ our hope. We are to rejoice in hope. Hope does not disappoint. We are saved by hope. We are to give a reason concerning the hope that lies within us. Hope is called the blessed hope, the good hope, a living hope, a better hope. Hope is the anchor that keeps you when the storm beats against your life. Hope thou in God. That's what keeps you steadfast and sure when the billows roll against you. Hope. Hope is what is the power that grants us the ability to get through one day at a time. Hope. Yes, the things will get better, people. It's going to get better. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. We all have. Mel and I have shared putting our 60 years together. But I can tell you this. We've also cast bread on the waters. And I can look back at all the things that have occurred in my life. And I can see how God, in his masterpiece of my life and Melon's life, has put it all together for good. We've had a good life. I'm not done with it yet. But we've had it, and we've been blessed. And a lot of things come back around. God is a master of doing that as well. He really is. So hope, our hope is in the crowning day. When we are given that crown of life, there will be no more death, no more sorrow. There'll be no tears, no more aspects of life there. It's going to be heaven. Oh, that will be glory when we are with Jesus and we can look upon God and all of his glory and the aspect of it. That's what our life is about, Christian. You're not living for what this life has to offer. You're living for what God has promised you is yet to come. It is going to get better. Life's days will soon be over. Our storms forever pass. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all. Life burdens will seem so small when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his wonderful face, all sorrow will erase. It will be worth it all, people, when we see Jesus. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, when you see him, you're going to become like him. Don't lose hope. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to, best thing you may well want to do is shut your TV off and shut your radio off and get in the Bible, you know. And listen to the message that God has for you. Because I guarantee you, it is a message of hope. Amen? A message of hope. Oh, that will be glory to me. You want to sing that one, don't you? Huh? Sing it with me. So stand together. Let's make that our song today. Oh, that will be glory for me.